Hey everybody, at Good News Home, it's Jesse here, bringing you a virtual music resource. Last time we talked a little bit about the percussionist Miguel Angadias, and today I have twofold reasons why I'm going to show you a little bit about this band, Ibei. So the first is, number one, these are his daughters. And number two, September is Latin American History Month, Latino American History Month, Hispanic Heritage Month. And I feel like these two women and their band really showcase some of the best qualities of Hispanic American heritage that I wanted to share with you. So. This band, Ibei, I think I may have played you a little bit before, but these are two twins. These are his twin daughters. And Ibei in Yoruba means twins. Yoruba is the culture, the language and the culture that is now what we consider Nigeria. But that is the West African area that primarily white colonists went to capture slaves and bring them against their will, obviously, to the United States. So there's a lot of Yoruba culture that made it over to the United States into the Caribbean and to Cuba. And so anyway, their name is Ibei, which means twins in Yoruba. And they have a very interesting blend of experiences. Their father is Cuban, so obviously have the Afro-Cuban in them. And their mother is French. And so they speak English and Spanish and French, and their music is an amalgam of many different styles and different things they do. So let's start off with, let's see, I have a little bit of a documentary that I want to share here, and we're going to stop at certain points and chat a little bit about it. Float myself here. Okay, let's start off with this.
Hey, sois avec moi, mais quoi qu'il arrive, amuse-toi, regarde-moi. Je t'aime plus que tout.
Et t'aimes les dames, ça va être cool.
Ça va être cool.
Et tout le monde.
Stand by tout le monde.
Je t'aime.
So you'll start to see the two daughters, one of them primarily sings and plays keyboards, the other one sings and plays percussion, and right there she's playing basically a slightly sexied up version of bata drums, which are the three drums from Cuba. You can see my three back there that I actually dragged back from Cuba. That's another story. But the three drums, it's like a mother drum is the biggest, then father, and then baby. And they're played not standing up, but side to side, so there's a low and a high part. So she's got hers mic'd up, and then obviously keyboards and vocals, and there's a lot of other pre-recorded tracks they have synced going on there too.
My name is Naomi Diaz.
I am Lisa Kainde, and we are
Ibei.
Ibei means twins in Yoruba, and we're twins. I do the piano parts and the melody, the lyrics.
I do all the production and rhythm.
Basically, I do the skeleton and she gives it the flesh and the skin.
Cool way to describe your process, the skeleton and then the flesh and the skin.
grew up listening to French artists and old soul singers. Yoruba chants.
Yoruba comes from Nigeria and Benin.
So when she says Yoruba chants, there'll be a little bit more of this later on. But basically, the Yoruba religion, when they were brought over to the Caribbean by white colonists, the colonists wanted them to convert to Christianity. The Africans had their own Yoruba deities and systems. And they kind of like line them up in this way that some of the Orishas were sort of paired with some of the African Orishas, the Yoruba Orishas were paired with the Christian saints. Now, depends who you ask. Some people say that the Christians allowed the Africans to sort of pair them up so they would think they were still doing their own thing. Some people say that the Africans allowed the Christians to kind of pair them up with their saints so they could think they were doing their own thing. And probably the truth was somewhere in the middle, but it was one of these like wink, wink, nudge, nudge situations. Like, if we're going to work this out together, we each need a little bit of our own to retain a little bit of our own culture. So when they're talking about these Yoruba chants, there are like different songs, basically songs and poems that are sung to different Orishas, and you'll hear them reference their own. And that singing involves a lot of call and response. It involves the bata drumming as well. And it can be a very religious, sacred thing, but it also can stretch out into sort of just like a secular realm, like a drumming type party, family, get-together kind of thing.
And when slaves were shipped to Cuba, their culture remained Cuban.
Our mother took us to a Yoruba choir for the first time when we were 15, and we fell in love with their songs. And we are on stage every night singing those songs.
We're honored to be part of this culture.
It's almost like we are sponges, so we take everything in and it mixes up inside our bellies, and then it comes back and it sounds like
eBay.
It's really weird, but it truly is like that. Should we just let it be? This is our song Deathless from our second album, Ash. Normally I come to the studio with the piano and the melody and the lyrics, but this time it started with the beat and with the bass. It's heavy and dark. Naomi and Richard Russell, our producer, both created this up-tempo beat.
So I like that little visual representation that they give you. Take a listen one more time to that sound.
The melody and the lyrics, but this time it started with the beat and with the bass. It's heavy and dark. Naomi and Richard Russell, our producer, both created this up-tempo beat.
So it's funny she calls it an up-tempo beat. I would actually think of that as what people call a down-tempo beat. When you think of like trip-hop or somebody like Portishead or Massive Attack or Tricky. But it doesn't matter what they call it. Right over there, she's playing a drum pad. So basically on that pad, there are, on that little desk thing, there are several like hard rubber squares and they're all attached electronically. And so you program in, oh, I want kind of like a big boomy bass drum sound here. I want a little echoey snare drum. And then you hit them and the computer reads it and plays that through. So you can see that's part of her percussion rig. We're going to come back to this song later because it's a really interesting history, the story behind this song, so I'll leave it for there. But I just wanted to pick up on something they said too, which was that idea of being a sponge and picking up the culture. And they'll come back to this. There's this idea, especially among Afro-Cuban musicians, but I think you find it in all different cultures, where you're building upon the past, and they've said they'll say in the interview, and I've heard them say other times, and I've heard other Afro-Cuban musicians say this too, like, it's almost like they're building on the footsteps of their ancestors. Like, they hear their ancestors singing those songs through them. And it sounds a little hippy-dippy, like, in some ways to talk about it, but it's a really beautiful sentiment, and the idea that that tradition is like really almost physically accessible to you through those songs, through the chants that she was talking about. There are these traditional melodies. Of course, they're doing their modernized version. They're adding a lot more tonally, and they're adding rhythmically, and they're changing the style. But the idea that they're starting from a place of using those melodies is, I think it's really cool, and it's really beautiful that that's the way they're in touch with that part of their culture. Let's listen to one of their more recent songs. This one's called Me Voy.
Me tocas y me hunden las olas y me hunde la lluvia. Me besas, sueño y miel en mi boca, sueño y miel en la ropa.
The idea of fusion is like so overdone. You talk about this, you know, like we're fusing two styles, man. But it's pretty good what they're doing. Like right there in the course of like 5 seconds, you hear this in between the space of the beat, you hear this like super synthed out bass, like do 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 do, and then 2 seconds later there's that pra pra of the acoustic bata drums, which are like, as close to ancient as you can get. Let's rewind a tiny bit, listen to that.
That's
a great little line there that highlights what I was talking about before, this idea that the connection to the ancestors through that Yoruba culture. I particularly like, I mean, sometimes you'll see a band and everything about that band is column A, except there's an instrument from column B, right? And it's kind of like putting like sauce on top of something that's already cooked, you know? Their thing is really much more integrated, I think. There's a lot of thought that goes into the mixing of the sounds, acoustic and electric, and the older sounds, the newer sounds, and here they are, they're singing in Spanish and singing in almost in kind of like a Yoruba style, like the shouting out, declaring the lines, and then singing together, and then someone else takes lines, singing together. It has a sort of like communal, it's like they call it a bembe, like the group I think that's the right word. Yeah, like the group getting together, like the jam, right? It's pretty well mixed and yet retains some feelings from several different cultures and different times.
Me olvido, te olvidas, al cerrar los ojos, solo hay melodía. Ay, recuerda, recuerda.
Just aesthetically, too, I think it's kind of neat that they go from playing, they have some things pre-recorded, and they go from playing to singing to moving back and forth. Yeah, it's just cool. It flows really well. And again, like, these things don't just happen. Like, it takes a lot of time to produce that and to think it through and make sure that it conveys the message and also the aesthetic live that you're going for when you wrote the song and record it in the studio. Cool. So that's Mayvoy from eBay. I want to show you a little bit of another interview where they're talking about some of their influences and how they put together their last album.
So what is specifically the part of your Afro-Cuban culture you put in, or how do you weight, you know, I'm going to put a little bit of Yoruba there, and how do you incorporate the other influences you have, whether it's hip-hop or electronic music or soul music or jazz or whatever? It's not like a recipe.
So we talked about this for a minute before, but yeah, this is like the million-dollar question that every artist that does anything even close to creative gets, which is, how did you come up with your specific mix of X, Y, or Z? And I think she handles it really nicely, and you hear the other one in the background, and Naomi says, no. You know, like, when they're, she's giving the examples that people ask. You know, it needs to be, it needs to be an honest, meaningful, organic type thing. And you can't just think, like, well, my dad did this, and mom's this, and I'm this, and I listen to that, and so, like, that's how I'll market myself. I mean, I think people do get marketed that way, and they get pigeonholed, and sometimes they're in on it, and sometimes it's like some company AR executive gets a hold of them and is like, oh, I know how we can package this. And, you know, the music business is tough, and you have to make money. Sometimes things do need to be packaged and marketed a certain way in order to get the ball rolling, and then there's a little more freedom on the back end. But again, I think they do a good job of writing music that reflects what they really are hearing, and not all of it is a hit, but a good part of it really clicks on a lot of levels.
It's something we have inside ourselves, and when we write, it just comes out. And but it's for sure part of a big part of our music. And every night when we sing those Yoruba songs, we are so proud of singing them. Every time we play a Yoruba rhythm, we are so proud, and it feels like, you know, feels like all the ancestors are playing with us at the same time.
Well, everybody who's in the album, we love them, and we always wanted to work with them. So there's Kamasi Washington.
Kamasi Washington's a really popular jazz saxophonist.
There's La Mala Rodriguez, there's Michelle Andegoncello.
Michelle Andegoncello is one of my favorite people, artists on the planet, period. She's an amazing multi-instrumentalist and singer, songwriter.
there's Chili Gonzalez, and there's Michelle Obama.
There's a sample of Michelle Obama. For all of those people, we love them, have been listening to their music for so long,
yeah,
that when they said yes, it was a great honor for us to have them on the album. And also the songs called them.
So again, you know, that they're connecting the past. They feel honor and this pride to sing those Yoruba chants and the sort of things that are Yoruba style that's influenced their culture. I mean, their culture that's influenced their music. And at the same time, they're so excited about having all these contemporary artists to bring them into that fold. And when she says the songs called them, I remember somebody explaining once to me that Duke Ellington, the great jazz composer, you know, he had a big band. It was 5 saxes, 4 trombones, 4 trumpets, etc. And that he used to write specifically for the members of his band. So he was writing for Lester Young, or he was writing for Harry Carney, or he was writing for whoever was playing the solo at that moment. And this idea that the songs calling for them, meaning that they're writing songs and hearing like, oh, we have to get Kamasi to play sax on this, or we have to get Michelle to sing on this. You know, again, like some things are marketing decisions and it happens, but a lot of the time if people are intentional with what they write, being popular enough and good enough to reach out to, you know, one of these people and have them guest on your album can bring that piece, they can fit in that piece that is missing or that they needed. So it sounds a little like out there when she says the song's called to them, but I think that the sentiment is really accurate. This piece is really cool. This piece is with a Brazilian rapper named Emicida, and it's an intense, and it's called Libre, and it's all Libre's freedom. And we'll listen a little bit, and then I'll talk a little bit about the words.
Mandela, Mandela, Mandela. There is no discussion. Favela, favela, favela. 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 There is no discussion. Favela, favela, favela.
All right, so what she's singing about, favela, favela, favela. So favela is a name for a slum in Brazil, in Portuguese. And Brazil has some of the poorest, most desperate slums in the world, in the cities in the world. And so they're saying there is no discussion, favela, favela. There's no discussion. I mean, you could take that a couple of different ways. There's no discussion. This is this pot where culture is at. There's no discussion, like people aren't talking about the problems that we have here. There's no discussion. We just, music connects us. We know how to make things happen. But anyway, she's there. It has this like aggressive like chant. And then she screams at the end, aquí somos libre, here we're free. Meaning here in the moment, in the music, in the dance, or maybe even in the favela, in the ghetto, meaning that the things that keep the people in poverty, keep them down, that are difficult, also are the things that keep them, that motivate them, move them. Let me rewind that part, play it again. So Fela is Fela Kuti, the Afrobeat star, and then Mandela is obviously Nelson Mandela, the freedom fighter.
This beat is contagious. Sequela, sequela, sequela. Freedom forever, like
Mandela, Mandela, Mandela. There is no discussion, favela, favela, favela. 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 There is no discussion, favela, favela, favela.
They're saying the word noise, so it's actually N-O-I-S. Noise in Portuguese means us, we, together. So it's noise. It sounds like the word English word noise, like noise, loud, but also it means we together, which is very interesting pairing, because I'm sure they knew that there would be a large English-speaking audience listening to this too.
Aquí somos libres, love, libre, 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 love, libre, 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 twerk, libre, 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 noise, libre. Aquí somos libres, love.
So she says that chorus there is love, we love, clap, we clap. And then she says twerk, which is interesting. Now we think of twerking as that awful dance that Miley Cyrus brought to the MTV Music Awards, and people think of it as like totally exploiting women, shaking their butts, and like just overly sexualized and overly demeaning to women, and there's another side to that, whether or not you're an advocate of twerking. I was just like saying it loud is weird because it's such a strange thing to discuss, but there's another element of that, which is that move, that sort of hip and butt shaking move, that is actually rooted in African dance. It's rooted in Yoruba culture, and it's just part of one of the many, like, astoundingly complicated and super, for lack of a better word, funky dances that come from West African and Yoruba culture. So this idea of twerking, that they're putting this into, like, what we do, to me it seems like almost like a reclamation, like a reappropriation of that term or that word or that action, you know. It's like people, when something has sort of been stolen from them and made into whatever it is, and in this case, the twerking, which is kind of like loved and hated, the fact that they're saying it in the song signals to me that they're trying to reclaim that as like, no, like that's ours, that's part of us, and we hold proud to it. Like, you don't get to take that and just make it your own. Like, when we do that, we feel free. Like, that's for us. So, I don't know, your own personal opinions of twerking aside, it's interesting to consider that the four things they include, love, clap, twerk, and I forgot the fourth one now, but like those are all important to them equally. Let's listen to that part one more time. Saying love, we're free, 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 free. Clap, we're free. Twerk, the dance, we're free. And noise, we together. It's a really cool song. There's so much, also, like, so much sound in there. So many process, like synthy electronic dancey sounds, but also like at the end you can hear that that bataa drum, that acoustic sound. Anyway, super cool. The last thing I want to come back to now is Remember to play the very little bit of this song, Deathless, that they wrote?
Melody and the lyrics, but this time it started with the beat and with the bass. It's heavy and dark. Naomi and Richard Russell, our producer, both created this up-tempo beat.
Right. So this song, Deathless, she goes on to, Lisa goes on to talk about the history of that song and where it came from. And I wanted to bring this back to Latino American History Month, because there's an interesting message here. So she's talking now about the song that they wrote.
I wanted people to understand the power they have.
This is a Yoruba chant they're doing.
When I was 16, I got stopped in the subway by policemen. And they were like, do you smoke? And I said, no, and they were like, do you use drugs? And I said, no. Do you drink? And I said, no. And then they were like, are you effing kidding me? And really, really close to my face. I didn't understand. Obviously, he was a racist. And then he made me take out my socks and my shoes. He took my bag and threw everything on the floor like that. But when he saw I had a huge book, I was reading Anna Karenina, he froze, gave me my empty bag back, and left. And then I forgot about it. But when our producer, Richard Russell, asked us, do you want to write a song about it? I said, I can't. My story is like nothing.
And then her goes on that her sister encouraged her to write a story about it. So, you know, let's just like process that story for a second. Obviously, we don't know the backstory. Maybe she was doing something suspicious looking. We don't know the story of the police officer, what he had heard, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean to like just left that off. Like, it's very possible that there was more to the story going on, and that there's a reason why, and that she might have misread some of those signals. And you know, however, from her telling of it, it does seem very consistent with this idea of racial profiling, and that at least she seems to feel that she was stopped and she was interrogated because she was young and black, and that she was judged and stereotyped. So, you know, there's something when she was actually a victim of stereotyping twice in this scenario. One was she was stopped, and she believes because it was she was black and asked, threatened as a teenager, did you do this, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like the officer was, you know, really abusive and nasty and not exactly treating her fairly. And then the second time is when he dumps out the bag and sees she's reading this huge Anna Karenina, this like really intense, intellectual, difficult novel. And then he stops and he lets her go. So the first one is when he treats her a certain way because of her race. That's the first stereotyping. And the second time is, it's actually much harder to spot. It's called in-group favoritism. And that's when something signals to him that he makes a connection with her, like this, oh, she's reading this intellectual book. She must be a smart person. She must be important. She must be valuable. And at that point, he lets her go. And this is something we see all the time. The first one is easier. The first example, where he's treating her differently because she's of different color, is the easier one to see. But the more difficult one to see, where he lets her go after he sees that book, is we see that all the time when somebody's like, oh, you know so-and-so, or oh, you went to that school, or, you know, like, oh, really? Like, you know, like, your dad works for so-and-so. And when you make that connection with someone and then you decide to treat them differently, and in this case, he lets her go, which is the right thing. But the point is that had he not seen that book, had he not made the connection, the officer, then he would have continued to treat her in the first way. So she's being treated unfairly because of a stereotype, number one, and then number two, she's being treated better because of another stereotype, that she's reading this big book, so she must be smart and important, whatever. You know, these are both, you know, like blind spots in our ability to treat people fairly and equally. And just especially after researching what we watched today and talking about this band today, you know, here's a woman who is so musically talented, so intelligent, so connected to her culture, speaks at least three languages, tours the world, is thinking about connecting to her relatives and her culture, and is producing music at this high level, and all this officer sees her as is black. Is such a sad commentary, but also a reminder that stereotypes are really extremely pervasive and something we need to look out for and acknowledge and address in our own lives. And also, when he sees that book as a sign of something intelligent or higher, or you know, something more white, then that's yet another problem where we make those quick conclusions and favor those in-group favoritism that she mentions before. So the song is very cool. I'm not going to play it right now. You can check it out on your own. But not only is the song interesting, but you know, when she says, oh, I didn't know. First, she says she sort of forgot about that incident, because when things are traumatic, you put them aside. But the fact that she said, well, and you know, my story is so small. What's the difference if you know, do that? And her sister says, no, you do need to share that. Again, it points to another issue, which is that not when people are treated unfairly and they're stereotyped and seen as less than, or seen as only this small representation of what I think, you know, black people or XYZ type people are, then they tend to minimize their self-worth. And so I'm really glad for all of our sakes, including hers, but just for us selfishly, that we get to hear the result, that her sister was able to encourage her, like, no, this is a story you do need to tell. And she told it so eloquently that way. So anyway, that is Ibeyi. Fantastic band. Really interesting fusion of different sounds and styles. I think just for fun, let me see if I can call this up right now. See if we can find, they do a great cover of a song that I love. Let's see.
Customized insurance.
Oh God, we don't want customized insurance. An artist that I love, whose name is Jay Electronica, they do a great cover of one of his songs that I would like with to share. Well, I don't need to share this Xfinity Mobile ad. I don't work for Xfinity Mobile. But let's take a quick listen to close out our session today to Ibeyi doing their version of Jay Electronica's Better in Tune with the Infinite.
Frustrating when you just can't express yourself, and it's hard to trust enough to undress yourself, to stand exposed and naked in a world full of hatred, where the sick thoughts of mankind control all the sacred. I pose, take a step back, record all the setbacks, fast forward towards the stars and the jetpack. My feet might fail me, my heart might ail me, the the synagogues of Satan might accuse or jail me. I get something to say. Oh, yeah. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's on the way. That name on that birth certificate, that in the real me, that in the real me, the lies can't conceal me. The sunrise and the moon tides and the sky is gonna reveal me. My brain pours water on my injured eyes to heal me. I got something to say. Oh, yeah. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's on the way. The message grab a hold to every ears that get whispered in. The waters and the bays of New Orleans still glistening. Yeah, the universe is listening. Be careful what you're saying it. My grandma told me every bed a nigga make, he laying it. I got something to say. Oh, yeah. Yesterday is gone. The church you go to pray in it, the work is on the outside, staring out the windows. It's for love songs and house flies. I got something to say. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's on the way. I got something to say. Oh, yesterday's gone, tomorrow's on the way.
It's eBay with Jay Electronica's Better in Tune with the Infinite. That's an amazing song for another day's discussion. Anyway, good news home. Thanks for being with me virtually today. I hope you enjoyed that. We'll talk a little bit more about Ibeyi, the twin daughters of Miguel Anga Diaz, percussion legend, French-Cuban, black, worldly, multilingual, multi-influence musicians, sisters, twins, with amazing catalog of music and ideas and inspiration and a really interesting process too. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jesse, and I will see you soon. Be well, everybody, and keep listening.